Welcome to the Joe Customs Podcast.
Priceless.
Everybody loves zombies.
Wow. They didn't make figures like that when I was a kid.
We'd like to welcome TR101AL to the show, our third co-host, who's finally able to make it to the show this time due to some scheduling conflicts and wanting to get something up right away. He's a customizing extraordinaire on Joe Customs, customizing everything from comics to sci-fi to, of course, the G.I. Joe military sci-fi-ish genre. TR1, you want to say hi?
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here. Thanks to John and Dan for having me with you on this podcast.
No, we're glad to have you.
Hey, welcome aboard. Glad to have you here.
So just so, you know, everybody can kind of get an idea for who you are and what got you into customizing, why don't you go ahead and lay out what actually did get you into customizing?
Well, I started out years ago like most of us did. You know, you get a scuff on your figure and you want to improve it. So it started out with Sharpies. You know, most of us know that those don't last very long. But my first real custom was I had gotten a Secret Wars Spider-Man in a trade, and he was beat up, you know, worn out, the lines were gone, so I ended up customizing him into a Spawn figure. It's kind of sad because it, you know, kind of dates me how old I am, but I had my mom do the cape for it, and I showed it to a buddy of mine whose mom owned a comic shop in Northwest Florida, and I think to this day that custom is still there. From there, I went on to customizing Star Wars figures when the Power of the Force 2 came out, and kind of became bored with those, and got back into Joes once the Toys R Us packs came out. Since then, I've been doing Joes and superheroes and zombies and you name it. Pretty much I've kind of dabbled with it.
What's the favorite custom that you've created that people really need to see of your work?
There's one that I made, and I don't think it's ever been posted on Joe Customs, and if I can find the picture in the archive, is something I did for my dad a few years ago. He and I are big Alabama Crimson Tide fans, and at the time, quarterback was John Parker Wilson. That was the year they won I can't remember which national championship it was, but I was able to do a shadow box, and I created the figure of the quarterback for him. Something I was pretty proud of, and it was personal for him. It was a Christmas gift. I guess it's been about 4 years ago when I did that.
Dan, was there any of his customs that stuck out to you?
My favorite probably has got to be that Ripcord that you did recently. Such a great updating of one of my favorite figures as a kid, done in a modern style. And it blew me away the second I saw it. It's simplistic, yet at the same time, it is so beautiful. And the camouflage you did, the way you put the accessories together on it, it's fantastic.
I appreciate that. He was what I consider a happy accident. One of those things where while you're fiddling around with a custom that you put a lot more forethought into and more planning into, and you got your, you know, parts on the table and want to see what you can do with them, he just kind of fell together, and they're a little bit of paint apps, and I would say he's probably maybe a two-hour custom, and just turned out really well. Got a positive feedback from the community on it. You know, it was a strong update for the character.
The one custom that stuck out to me, and I just didn't remember it being here, was the Amalgamation Superman Captain America custom from the Amalgamation comic DC Marvel. I don't remember seeing that, and when I looked at it, I was like, oh, I've seen a lot of people try that, and it's kind of hard to pull off, and I think you nailed that one.
Well, I appreciate that. One thing I'm trying to do with my customs, and one thing that I'll throw a shout out to Dan as well as AV and Dennis about is pulling their universes together. And I've got a variety of interests, but sometimes it's hard to kind of bring them all together, and that's what I'm trying to do with my customs. And the parts just fell in place, and he turned out pretty good. I mean, I think that the part that I was happiest with was I did a little playing around with some plastic from the blister cards and made some decals and put them on there, so it kind of gave it the translucent effect, and it worked out pretty good as a figure. I wanted to be a little bit smaller than Superman, but yet still had the buff appearance, kind of like a Captain America type feel.
I have to concur. That is a great figure.
One topic that we kind of brought up last show, but we kind of want to bring it up again here, is has the rising cost of figures and stuff affected either the level of customizing you do or the amount of fodder you get or anything like that?
It has, and the availability is a big thing for me. In the last 7 months, I pretty much transplanted my whole family to a new area due to my job, and it was a good move as far as career, but as far as customizing, it's not been very friendly because there's not a lot of opportunities around. I have to travel an hour and 15 minutes to hope to find fodder. So I've been using up what I've gotten, and that's worked out pretty good, too. I mean, I've done a little bit of online with eBay and such. The cost, as far as weighing out whether I want to pay the shipping or whether I want to make the drive and spend the gas, I haven't been buying as much. I've been trying to utilize what I have on my table or at my disposal, or lucky enough to find something here in stores. I mean, we have a Walmart and the far end of the city, and on a rare occasion, we find something nice. My wife was actually kind enough. She knew I had a bad day at work the other day and came home with a Black Widow, so I was pretty happy with that, and she's a keeper, so I consider that a bonus.
Yeah, that's good for her. Yeah.
It's always great when you have a spouse that supports you in your hobby. My wife does the same thing. She actually let me have the spare room we have in the apartments to use as my hobby room. I can never thank her enough for that.
Well, ours is our bedroom is actually my hobby room. She's been gracious enough to give me a wall and a half, and right now it's kind of been moved because of our pipe situation, but it'll be moved back in the next couple of days, and I'm thankful that she's letting me use this space to still have fun with the customizing.
Yeah, I made a deal with my wife. I got a place for my hobby, and she gets 3/4 of our closet. That's kind of how that works.
Hey, as long as it works out, right?
I kind of want to talk about the Marauder Inc. Kickstarter. It turned out today that they actually hit their $17,000 goal that they had on Kickstarter. So now they're going to be pushing for some of the stretch goals they had.
I think it's a pretty cool nod to the community that that many people would donate to make that goal. And I think it's pretty awesome that we step up to that level to see something that we all enjoy grow into a fruitation of a different level.
Yeah, I have to admit, when I saw the $17,000 goal, I was like, I don't know if, cheap customizers and Joe fans are big enough to support that project, but whether it was reaching out to people beyond just G.I. Joe and hitting the Star Wars fans, I don't know, but he was able to garner support throughout.
Marauder John's a stand-up guy, and I think all of us in the Joe community know him. He's a great guy as far as doing business with, and a great guy just to, talk to. I mean, I haven't had the chance to meet him in person, but I've, talked to him in emails and such, and he's just a stand-up guy, and you want to see somebody who's going to take care of you and your friends. You want to see them succeed, and I think that's what happened with this Kickstarter.
I think that's pretty much what happened as well. There's enough people out there who do get his stuff who maybe aren't as active as buying tons of his stuff as some other people are, but they all threw in a couple of bucks just to help him reach his goal, which is fantastic. It's one of the few times I think our community, who tend to be a little bit on the cheap side, have actually put some money out to further the goals of the community as a whole.
I heard from other people, I didn't actually see it myself, but I guess Larry Hama put up something yesterday to help support it, the Marauder Inc. Kickstarter, and D.R. Bindi actually reached out to the author of the Monster Hunter series, and he was able to put something out there. That particular author, the name escapes me. I'll put it in post-show, I promise. But he's a fan of G.I. Joe as well. So that was good that they had a couple of big names pimping it out for Marauder John and his crew.
That actually is very cool that Larry Hama, basically the godfather of G.I. Joe, put his power behind this. That's great.
It's been a blessing for customizers, offering us different weapon options and being able to get multiples of the same weapon. So I definitely plopped down some money, not the $100 or over $100, but I definitely try to get a set of the colored weapons, their realistic paint jobs for them.
I think the Kickstarter idea is great. It'll get us the next wave a lot sooner than if we were just wait for regular production, because sometimes there could be a year in between waves, sometimes there could be two. This one will get us the wave a lot quicker. My only concern is that this wave, there's only one weapon I can actually use for any of my projects. and that is, they call it the Space Command Rifle, and it's kind of like a riff on the classic Halo Battle Rifle. The rest of the weapons are just simply too real world for me to have much use for. His weapons are phenomenal. They look like shrunken down versions of the real thing, and they're amazing. But this batch, only one weapon's really doing it for me. I'll end up giving a little bit of money towards the Kickstarter, but I think if there had been more sci-fi relatable weapons, or weapons that could be modified into sci-fi weapons easily, I'd be plunking down a lot more.
Yeah, I totally understand that viewpoint. I've heard from a lot of people that, you know, when they get stuff from them, it just sits in a bag. You know, they're not able to use it. I've just been able to use everything I've gotten from them at some point. I don't buy in the quantities other people buy from those, so that may be why.
Yeah. Marauder John and I actually had a pretty good relationship. As I had stated before, back when he was first starting out, when he had his very first wave of weapons out, I offered to help promote his work and promote his wares to the science fiction community. And he sent me a review set, which I photographed and posted everywhere. Every Star Wars website I belonged to, every science fiction customizing site I could find online, I put up a review, and he ended up getting a ton of people ordering it because they just didn't know, because prior, he'd only really advertised to, like, the Joe community. So we developed a pretty good relationship, and every time he has a new series coming out, I get a review set, and I continue doing my reviews for him. As I was saying, his work is phenomenal. I love his weapons. And I really hope that at some point in the future, we can get a wave that maybe is a little more balanced between real-world weaponry and fantasy or sci-fi weaponry. But I know the bread and butter of his company is the realistic military collector, so I understand that.
I think you're right on, though. I think a whole sci-fi wave, maybe not this one, maybe not the next one, but afterwards, when he's got enough weapon choices in there but could add a few more, I would love to see a full-on sci-fi pull out stuff from different genres, different medias, laser swords that aren't lightsabers, you know, other different blasters and rifles that aren't specific to Star Wars or, what is it, galaxy battles.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, generic enough that they could come from any sci-fi source. So, of course, he doesn't get his pantsuit off, but also that still fits that design aesthetic.
Right. The thing I did like about this Kickstarter is that people have been asking about pre-orders or whatever for the weapons, and he's never been able to offer that service for so many reasons, but this Kickstarter was a way to offer a version of a pre-order where if you gave money towards it, he'd be able to guarantee you whatever level set you participated in.
Yeah, it's a brilliant plan that he came up with. I was reading over all the different levels of your investments and what you would get for it. He's put together some great packages. And in order to pull this off, I think he went the right way about doing the whole Kickstarter thing, instead of, like, asking from his own website or whatnot. I really hope he gets the level he needs.
Yeah, I definitely do, too. He's been a strong supporter of Joke Customs, not just as a sponsor, but any time we've ever had a contest or whatever, he's always been there to offer whatever we've asked or needed from him. He's just a great guy and does a great job with these weapons and stuff.
Yeah, like I said, the sculpting is second to none. Every fire indicator switch is right where it should be. You know, the switch you have to flip to eject the cartridge, everything. It's a perfectly scaled-down version of the real-world weaponry. Whoever his sculptors are, they're not getting paid enough. These guys are incredible.
I think he'd say they're getting paid exactly what they need.
Well, yeah, at this level of where he is in the business world, yes. But for what they do, his sculptors are phenomenal.
And some of the rifles, the AK and, you know, the M4, where they're able to switch out different scopes, different magazine loads, different flashlights and forward grips and all those other dealies that you find on real life weapons. That's just amazing. To be able to have those small parts and be able to modify and adjust based on whatever you want a particular character to hold. That nobody else is doing that. Hasbro does it to a small extent, but nowhere near as well or as much as what Marauder Inc. has been able to do.
Oh yeah, his modular weapons are some of the greatest things ever given to our community. Because in the past, if you wanted to have a tactical light on your gun, you had to cut one off something else and glue it on. Here, with his little the peg system they use, where virtually everything fits every other gun that has the modular system on it, allows for extreme customizability. It's just amazing. And the fact that he can do it at the scale which we all love, they do it for 12-inch figures fairly regularly, but for 3¾-inch 1/18 scale figures, it's unheard of until he started doing it. Even the Hasbro one, the only one I ever remember a rifle being able to be broken down was that one Valor versus Venom Duke figure that had the rifle that broke into three parts. And maybe Bullhorn had the rifle that broke down to three parts. That's all I can think of from Hasbro.
Yeah. Well, recently, like the Pursuit of Cobra Snake Eyes, he's had those silencers and stuff that could be added on.
Oh, yeah. That is correct. Yes, I'm sorry. I had forgotten about that.
But definitely nowhere near being able to change out four different scopes and, you know, heavy load magazines and a shotgun or a grenade launcher on the end of it, all with the same weapon.
And I love the fact that it comes with all these little accessories and you can order them individually, because I've actually utilized them for purposes they were never intended for. Some of the smaller scopes, the real little tiny one that was offered in the first modular assortment, I've actually used that for helmet cams on some of my soldiers. If you remember the Halo-influenced soldiers I did a couple years ago?
Right.
They have that on the side of their head as a camera.
And I know,
and I've been using grips and everything else just to make other weapons and other accessories.
Raptor used a bunch of those add-on modular pieces and it was able to turn them into weapons, you know, that you could plug onto arms for bats and stuff. And I thought that was a brilliant use of them, too.
Yes, I remember that. That was actually pretty cool. I made one recently with the last batch. I haven't shown it to anybody yet because it's not painted yet. I actually made Egon's PKE meter from the Ghostbusters cartoon. I used a foregrip. I used one of the holographic sights and one of the bipods. Cut them, put them all together, and I took from the Rise of Cobra, Paris Pursuit Baroness, that little silver computer thing that was to deactivate the nanites.
Right.
Put that on the front. It looks like the device from the cartoon.
I know exactly what parts you're talking about, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I used the bipod with the little balls on the end, and it looks like Egon's PKE meter. I haven't figured out what I'm going to do with it, what purpose it's going to serve in my little universe. But it was just something, I saw the parts laying there on the table, and I'm like, oh, I laid them together, I'm like, oh, it looks like a PKE meter.
If there's anybody that would know how to use that device correctly, it'd be the Spectre.
But he just puts out so many incredible things, and what I love about his material, and I stress it in every review I do, they take crazy glue beautifully without turning white, which happens a lot of times with the various vinyls that the toys are made out of. And they take paint incredibly well. Never have to worry about shipping, never have to worry about scratching, unless you play with them really rough, which, I mean, I don't think a stand on the shelf would look nice, but I have never had a problem with any of his material. Even cutting them to make custom laser guns like I do, no problems at all. They cut cleanly. I've never had them shatter on me. I've never had them, you know, cut at a bad angle because they were too thick to press through. I love his work. I really do.
Yeah, that's a really good point. They'd never have that oily plastic feel that you get some of the later runs of the Battlecore stuff. They never have that feel to them, and they're never rubbery.
Yep, that's a good thing, because way too often, even like I bought a bunch of the Hobbit figures this morning. The swords are so rubbery, even just in over time from being held in the figure's hand, if the figure is holding the sword horizontally, it's going to start to dip. I like the rigid weapons that Marauder does. Even his swords have great blades on them.
Let's move on to the Outstanding Customs.
Outstanding! Best of the best of the best, sir. With honor.
I gave it a 10!
Woo!
Dan, you want to start us off?
My favorite one that I've seen this week, it was just posted a little while ago, but I got to say, it blew me away. Fantastic Customs put up a Dungeons & Dragons-inspired custom of a character he used to play years ago. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Quarthon the Uplifted. Great-looking figure made from, looks like exclusively Marvel Universe parts. And I'm very surprised at how the Doctor Doom arms and legs work very well for a fantasy-based knight. It's just spectacular. The color scheme, the blue and gold tunic, the silver armor, everything is painted so beautifully, and it flows just incredibly well. I think it's probably the best thing I've seen all week.
Yeah, I mean, that blue with all the silver on it just really pops. The Doctor Doom just has a perfect armor look to it, with that touch of medieval classic to it. Yeah, that head choice is just brilliant.
Yeah, very, very cool. I also kind of like SG Caper put up a zombie that he made. He has it titled as Crispy. supposed to be a burnt zombie. Very cool mix of parts. Some old Army of Darkness Deadite parts in there. Some Joe parts that have been modified. It looks very cool and perfect for this time of year.
Obviously, we've seen, you know, with Halloween coming up, we've seen a lot of zombies over the past year, you know, with how well Walking Dead is doing on TV. S.G. Caper's guts that he has coming out of this zombie might be the most grotesque thing I've ever seen on a custom. I mean, that thing's got some real entrails poking out. And that includes some of the work that Dan of the Dead has been doing. This thing's just nasty. I looked at it once and just kind of grimaced and closed it real quick.
I'm a zombie lover, so I gotta say it's a great-looking figure. The entrails are fantastic-looking. And just everything sells. Like, the paint is great. The parts used, the Army of Darkness parts usually are just junk. You can't really use them for anything. They're so brittle. But his incorporating those parts into this figure worked perfectly.
The other customs I want to talk about actually showed up on eBay in an estate sale that we found out belonged to David Jensen. He didn't seem to have an online presence that we know about just yet. I know some people are looking into that. But he had some customs in these lots that are going up. First of all, he's just got tons of stuff. Not just customs, but, you know, you'll see a lot with, like, 5 fangs and 6 water moccasins. And then, you know, a dozen APC CUDA mail-aways. But the customs that are mixed in there, some of them are LBCs, you know, just mixed parts, but really well done. Trying to put together Army-built teams, you know, that all look similar. But he also had some World War II customs, some Nazis and different camo schemes and stuff that just looked amazing.
Yeah, they were very, very cool. I would like to have actually learned more about this guy. It's a shame, as you said, he doesn't seem to have much of an online presence. But you'll get that every now and again. Just something weird pops up, just wasn't online, but yet they had these incredible collections. The work he did, his LBCs, some of the parts used was inspired. Like, parts I never would have thought to put together. He put them together, and they worked. Even, like, the colors flowed well. The Nazis, the camouflaged World War II troops were painted very well. This shows a level of precision that I wish we could have gotten to see more of. Because even in the photos, the figures are all kind of lumped. You can't get a look at any one individual figure very well. I wish we could have seen more of it, and it's a shame that it seems that this guy has passed from us. He's no longer around. I would love to have seen more of this work when he was in his prime.
Yeah, I mean, the camo on those World War II figures, not just really well done, but he definitely went for an authentic look. So you can tell he was doing the research on these customs.
Yeah, and that's something you don't see a lot of, especially if you're dealing with G.I. Joe type things, where G.I. Joes can be, you know, realistic military, but with that touch of fantasy flair. When you get guys who actually do the research into real-world camo patterns, real-world, you know, unit insignias, patches, things like that, it just kicks it up a whole nother level.
You just don't see, like, whole teams of it where you get to see that much talent displayed in such a small space with, like, 8 figures that all have the corresponding uniform camo schemes.
It was incredibly impressive.
His talent will be missed, that's for sure.
Yes, it will, and I would love to have gotten better pictures of this stuff to really appreciate the work that he put into it.
Yeah. Hopefully some people are able to outreach and get a hold of his family and maybe get some more information on him.
Exactly.
Lastly, not to toot my own horn, but I finally did finish that marketing mascot figure, that El Hamburglar.
Yes, it is very cool. Looking at the photo right now, I love the way you took a rather cartoony, exaggerated character and brought it into a real-world, everyday look. It looked great. You know who it is the second you look at it.
I definitely went for the Zorro feel. I started working on it. My wife was like, "Oh, who are you making, Zorro?" And I was like, "No. This was the first time I've used bendy wires within a cape, and it shows. It's definitely rough. There's a lot of things I would do differently now. I just try to use glue and keep it in there, but it's obvious I need to sew and create a pocket for it so it doesn't pop out, which is the problem I had.
That's why I don't do anything with soft goods. I personally detest soft goods at our scale, because they never hang right, no matter what you do. Even, like, you put the wire in there, and that does help a little bit, It just never has that same look that it would in a real-world item, in a full-scale item. I prefer the sculpted vinyl like you find a lot on the Star Wars figures and you know, some of the fantasy figures, just because it looks better. For what you did here, great first attempt, like you said, using the bendy wire. A little rough around the edges, as you said, but honestly, I don't think I could have done any better. I can't comment on that at all.
The yellow fabric, it was t-shirt fabric, so that held up nicely when I cut it. That black fabric, yeah, even while I was taking pictures, it was starting to fray. You can definitely see it in the bottom left corner. As I'm moving it around, it's starting to detach, even with the glue. And yeah, that was a fabric choice, a wrong fabric choice by me.
Yeah, but the best thing is, you know what? You can always go back and revisit it at a later time. You decide you find a better choice of fabric, you can easily fix that up, take a couple of new photos, and it'll take that figure to a level of perfection.
Dan had mentioned pre-show about how the lines didn't look quite right. And gave you advice to never try to paint lines on wrinkly fabric figures.
Yeah, it never comes out right the first time. I've done it a couple of times doing what they call the Corellian blood stripes, the stripes that run down Han Solo's pants on the sides.
Right.
And it's very, very difficult to do it correctly, especially if there is sculpted fabric wrinkles, lines, a seam, anything like that. And it takes me 3 or 4 tries, and I consider myself to have a very steady painting hand. And even I have to do it 3 or 4 times, so it is not easy. I wouldn't even worry about it. The figure looks really good, though.
The other issue I ran into is I put the blue painter's tape on there, but I got build-up lines. So it created these false lines where they shouldn't have been, just by adding layers. I definitely should have spray-painted.
That's one of the great things about our hobby, though. We make a mistake, we formulate a way to fix it, so next time you don't make the same mistake. So it is a learning process.
The last image in that set has that safe I was building, showing how easily I get distracted.
The safe looks pretty cool. It does.
It's got a medical droid. It's got one of those articulated legs from that 3-prong droid.
Yes. Yeah.
So the door actually closes.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. I'll be using that probably never again.
It's one of those props you built for one-time use, and that's it. Yeah. We've all done that.
Well, it was one of those things I've always wanted to do, and I thought it'd be awesome. I'm like, oh, yeah, it'd be perfect for this. And then I did it, and I was like, you know, I can't even think of another project that this would be worth using again. I don't know. I'll probably have to create a custom just to have it in the backdrop again.
Ah, you can always use that figure they call Bank Robber Destro, the one that came with the minicon.
Oh, right.
He's got a suitcase full of money. You could have him ripping somebody off.
You know, that's funny. I actually did, when I was doing the measurements for this, I wanted to make sure that case could fit in there.
I didn't, see, there you go. Forward thinking.
I didn't think about for the figure, but I was just like, I want all those briefcases I have to have a place to go.
It worked out well, then.
Were there any other customs?
There was one other thing that struck me. Let me see if I can find it here online. It was kind of intriguing. Oh, Nova, he started a project called Hollywood Hiss Tanks. Yeah. Taking, you know, the iconic Hiss version 1 and applying different color schemes to it. Probably my favorite one is the AT-AT tank. The AT-AT tank is just very, very cool looking. The only thing I don't like is the red around the headlights in the front. I think that should have been left black. But other than that, it's very cool. And as he said, the whole opening of Renegades was pretty much a riff, almost word for word, on the AT-AT opening. So it's kind of apropos.
The thing I like about that project, he does say it in the thread, and I remember seeing it at the convention, that he did bring it and submit it for one of the custom, the Frank and Joe contest. The AT-AT one, those lines are sharp, and the metallic black on it
yeah.
for the paint came out really well. And of course, the Knight Rider. just seeing that blinking LED go across the front looks really sharp.
Yep. That is pretty cool, yeah.
But the thing I really like about that project is that there's so many other things he can do that with, you know, from the General Lee to, what was it, Ghostbusters and Scooby-Doo were some of the ones that people had mentioned, the mystery van. I just think this is one of those projects that can be ongoing for a very long time.
Oh, yeah, even if he just turned out one every couple of months. I would love to see the Starsky and Hutch colors. It's very similar in design to the A-Team one, but just in red and white. That could easily be done. I could see doing just about any iconic ride done up as a Hiss tank. It would look really cool.
Yeah. One last custom I want to talk about. JD, Night Force Cynic, he sent me his Night Force fridge that he put together. I thought it was really sharp looking, and it's on display now. But I just want to thank him for that.
I saw the pictures of that. That is very cool. And he managed to capture the whole Night Force feel very well.
Yeah, not just using black, but using like dark blues and dark greens too to really tie it together.
Because a lot of people don't remember that the original Night Force figures had some really odd colors too, like the dark maroon and that weird kind of like dark lime green and all sorts of other unusual colors. It was all part of that whole color scheme that Toys R Us was using for those 2 years.
Right. Right.
So I like when you see people do that, where they actually go into that little bit more obscure, as opposed to when Hasbro redid the Night Force as part of the Valor versus Venom line. It was basically just black and gray when they had those the couple of two packs.
Yeah, with Crosshair, and I think Dart was one of them.
I believe so. Yeah.
Grunt. Yeah, and I don't even want to talk about that Night Force 5-pack that came out with the Action Man.
Yeah, that's better left unspoken of.
We want to talk about the group projects that we do on Joe Customs. First, just a little bit of history. The group project started back on the Bivouac and with Camper, and it was just a way to focus some of the attention with the fan fiction diorama and customize the group to try to focus in on a project. And the original ones, they really delved into it and try to pull out core of what they felt G.I. Joe was and where it could have headed with the Black Ops. This being the 10-year anniversary of Joe Customs, we just wanted to delve into that, especially with the 50th group project on the horizon. So I'm going to ask you guys, have you guys ever participated in the group projects? Or have there ever been customs in the group projects that have stood out to you?
I have never participated in the group project, only because most of the time I plan my customs out in advance, and it's very hard to squeeze in something new if I haven't already begun pre-production work on it. But there have been a couple that I wanted to do, like G.I. Joe the Next Generation, the steampunk one. There's a couple others that really struck a chord with me, but I never got the opportunity to take part in them, and I actually kind of feel bad that I never did.
I participated in about three or four, if I remember correctly. I have to go back and look through all my customs to see. There's quite a few that I missed out on that I really wish I would have gotten into. The famous cover one was one of my favorites. I mean, the Wonder Twins did an excellent job on that. I think that really brought out the kind of forethought of what the project was supposed to be. And it's nice to see everybody working on a similar theme and pushing it to the next level and kind of seeing what the outcome is.
Yeah, I remember seeing it back on the Bivouac, and they just finished Flatline and moved into
Climate Control.
And so I kind of came up with an idea that would work with Flatline, but they had just posted that one. So I kind of took that idea and, you know, this Jamaican tropical guy and put him into the, squeeze that idea into the environmental one and just didn't look back. The only one I've missed since then was due to a move, and that was the Create-A-Con set. This one, the 50th, I was going to go back to it and do the Create-A-Con. I get overwhelmed and back off from it, but maybe one day. But more importantly, there's been a lot of ideas that I've scrapped that I didn't end up using because of the group projects, but use them elsewhere. So I find it really beneficial whether I participate or not. It makes me generate ideas.
That's good that it does that. Yeah, it's almost like you're continuing the group project even if you're doing it on your own.
Right.
I think the biggest thing we do as far as this community is to challenge each other to take it to the next level and to, you know, teach each other as far as techniques and ideas. And like the alien customs that, you know, probably jumping ahead a little bit, but the alien customs that G.I. Joey and Dr. Bendy or D.R. Bendy have been working on here lately, you know, I have no idea who the characters are, but, you know, it's something that they've done cool customs out of, and it kind of makes me want to go back and see what I've been missing on as far as the comics.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Alien Legion ones. Yeah, those are very good. I like those.
Yeah, G.I. Joey posted those work in progresses of the sculpting he's done, and when you see it all painted up, I swear, I thought it was just going to be some clone trooper armor that he threw on there, some Star Wars existing piece. But then you saw the work in progress, and I got to see, oh, he sculpted all that. That was all sculpted on. It's amazing.
That's impressive. I mean, sculpting it. I know a lot of us, that's one of our downfalls, and I myself, you know, there's a lot, you know, I've gotten better, but I'm still not to the level of that, and that's just amazing.
Yeah, sculpting's my weak point as well. Rudimentary skills at best, but I do my best.
Going back to the group projects, I've shown you guys a preview of the 50th and also a link to the Blind Pull project. Were there any customs besides Oreo Builders? Apologies to him and to Ali Viper Elite for his Stasis Heroes. Those haven't been posted yet, so these guys haven't seen them. Are there any customs within those two groups of what's been posted of the 50th that stood out for you guys?
The Blind Pull, there were two figures that really jumped out at me. There's a figure called Ramjet, which is a Cobra character created by Joe Michael 70. He took what could have been an incredibly dull color scheme, but through the use of some washes and some very creative dry brushing, really made it pop. It almost looks like it's made of old leather and copper. It's just phenomenal paint job. It's kind of like a steampunk jetpack guy. Yeah. And the Red Shadows by Dream. Red Scare, I'm sorry, by Dream is really nice. And it looks like it could be a con figure. It looks like something the fan club would put together for one of their con sets.
Yeah, I definitely echo the Red Scare figure. That one just jumped out and said Army Builder to me. You know, if that was something at retail, I would be all over it.
Yeah, I definitely like that Red Scare. I thought he did just a fantastic job. With the coat and the gun, it's just the full package. I'd buy it in a heartbeat. The 50th group project, I just like the goofiness of the mobster. That from the Reject Vipers. Tim just did a fantastic job. And using Blanca's hair for the mop, it was just brilliant.
Yeah, that's actually pretty inventive. And the way the parts come together, it looks like the figure was meant to look like that.
Right.
The crystal ball is pretty crazy, too. I mean, Toynette's just did a phenomenal job on the tattoos on that figure. I mean, it's pretty amazing. You know, and I'm sure it took plenty of time and a lot of discipline. A lot of those I don't have myself, but, you know, I got to shout out that one.
Yeah, crystal ball is pretty cool. I like that one. I mentioned before, pre-show, I like the City Strike Hiss Tank. Yeah. Really did a good job of making that rather goofy-looking base vehicle look formidable.
The Sound Attack Hiss, yeah, I agree. Yep. Bucky did a great job with that. Two things I want to point out with this group project that I'm really happy about was Live Evil going back to, you know, file name unknown, where we started with just the bio of the characters and had one Joe and one Cobra and just based the entire custom off of that. And he went back, even though he was part of the board at the time, he was part of the community, he just never entered anything, wasn't able to put it together for this. He was able to make the deadline for this for the 50th and go back and revisit that and come up with something. And on the other hand, we have Jay, who I can't remember whether he's done one or not, but he certainly hasn't done a lot of them if he has. And he just latched onto that Ninja Force and really came up with some interesting customs.
Yeah, the Ninja Force ones are pretty inventive. File name unknown, were rather well done. I like Vanguard, especially. Vanguard looks beautiful.
I like the simple things, like the G.I. Joe across the chest armor, and the fact that he took that head, made it bald, and then sculpted everything, you know, the beret on top of it. It just looks sharp.
The Nightflower Ninja, the female ninja, is pretty sharp, too. I mean, it kind of gives a different female ninja feel for Cobra, and that's, you know, using the parts that were used, it turned out quite effective.
Yes, that was very nice, too. The color scheme was beautiful. It still maintains an air of femininity, but also looks like it's going to kill you, so it is pretty cool. I think that my favorite individual figure, though, was the Bat Heavy Arm type.
Oh, yeah, CDR's Bat. Yeah, yes. I particularly like that one. I thought that was great use of parts.
Yeah, and it looks literally like something Hasbro would have produced towards the end of the Battle Corps era. It looks like a production figure. It harkens back to the V1 color scheme of the Bat, which is probably the most famous version of the Bat. It really looks like an actual Hasbro toy. It's incredible.
It's definitely something I wish Hasbro had made. It's that sharp looking.
And the painting of the yellow, I got to give nod to that, because painting yellow, white, and red is always a challenge for anybody.
Oh yeah, the worst.
Now, it doesn't look clumpy at all like you do. Like mine does. Mine would look clumpy. His looks fine.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, I have to fan it down a lot to keep it from looking goofy, so he did a great job.
Going back to, well, not really back to, but like the Enigma and Vanguard, the style of that, coming up with the bio and then coming up with customs based just on the bio, just that concept. Forget about, you know, that project or whatever, but when you guys are customizing, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Do you come up with the story and character for a customer? custom, or do you come up with a custom and kind of make up a background for them?
That's actually kind of tough because it does vary from project to project, but I am a very firm believer, and there's a couple other guys out there like that, DR Bindi and Adrian Vike being two that come to my head right away. We believe that there has to be a really strong reason for that custom to exist beyond just looking cool. So a story is very, very important. And in a lot of cases, I will actually come up with the story before I begin working on the figure. And then once I've written the story out in my head, at least, I try to decide, okay, what does this character look like that would enable him to do these things that he did in the story? So the story is very, very important. And in some cases, I will just cobble together a figure and then BS a backstory for him. It all depends on the project.
I'm going to kind of jump in on here, and I've been a fan of Dan's work for a long time.
Thank you.
How did your universe start? I mean, did it start with the story before a figure, or was there one key figure that you decided to customize and said, okay, you know, I'm going to build a story off of this?
The original, my universe basically is the Star Wars universe, but with a bunch of other stuff added into it. And it first came about because I wanted to add some additional characters to the, you know, some of the various environments, such as the Cantina, Jabba's Palace, etc. And I didn't want to just, you know, stick a Klingon in there and have no reason for him being there. So that's when I started coming up with ideas of how did this character get there? How did the, you know, why is he here at this particular point in time? And from there, I got the genesis of the idea that the Star Wars universe is so big, you can add anything to it, and unless it directly contradicts something in canon, it's okay. And it just sprung out from there. And that's why I started writing all my individual stories and making sure they all link together without contradicting each other or causing problems with the general Star Wars continuity. But it all started out because I wanted to add new characters to my collection.
Yeah, I've tried to do that on my own. I think I even sent you a few stories over the years, you know, things I've tried, and trying to bring Joe with Resident Evil with superheroes, and more misses than wins, I have to say. And it's one thing I enjoy doing, but I haven't become a master at it, you know. And I enjoy hearing you talking about it, and I'd also like to, you know, maybe in the future get AV on here and DR Bindi and see what their processes is, and maybe help me grow my own.
Well, the stuff you sent me in the past, I actually have very fond memories of all the stories I helped you out with. Your work is good. Don't sell yourself short. I've always enjoyed the stuff you sent. Your Joe Resident Evil, which I think you sent me the first, like, two chapters, was great storytelling. I couldn't wait for the next chapter, but unfortunately it never happened. I never got to read the rest of it.
Yeah, I suffer from customizing ADD, and I guess that goes with DO story writing as well. You know, I get going on things, and life gets in the way, and work, and you know how that goes, and all of a sudden another idea pops up, and the other one goes in the back burner. I probably get about 10 or 12 different stories on the back burner that I need to finish up, but maybe we can get together again and get them finished.
Hey, anytime. You send it to me, I'll look it over, I'll give my advice. I'm very happy to help you create your universe.
Greatly appreciated.
Hey, no problem. And I suffer from the same thing. I started a storyline many years ago, I just realized it was 2004, to bring the G.I. Joe and Cobra characters into my universe, and I realized I never finished it. I still have two or three different types of Cobras to do, and I still have like six more Joes to bring in. The story already exists in my head, but I just haven't actually sat down and made the figures. So trust me, from 2004 to we're heading into 2013 now, 9 years, I still haven't finished it. So don't feel bad.
I want to turn it back on Brad. What's your process? I mean, whether it's a character in a DO story or a custom, do you come up with the character, like its purpose and parts, or do you come up with a background, a more in-depth background for your customer character in a DO story?
It depends on both, really. I mean, sometimes if the parts work out to where I want them or where my plans have gone, then sometimes I just leave them like they are. But sometimes due to what parts I have, I may have to tweak them a little bit. And sometimes that works out better, you know, because my thing with, and especially with my superhero customs as of late, you know, I want the characters to be the characters, but, you know, I want a little bit different. You know, I want to be recognizable, but in the same instance, I want to, you know, them to be my own. And sometimes that's more fun than just trying to go for, okay, this is Superman, he's going to look like this, and, you know, he's going to do this. You know, the diversity of it is kind of fun, and it's part of the process and part of the community.
Oh, yeah, I definitely like putting my own spin on things. It's like that's part of the artistic license, you know, and I take it as frequently as possible.
I do the same as well. Sometimes I'll even come up with three or four different options during the construction phase and then kind of play with each one to see how it looks and decide on the best one. And it doesn't always have to be an exact copy of the original character I'm trying to do. Like, take in point my Skeletor that I did a couple months back. It doesn't look exactly like the cartoon character, But yeah, you look at it and go, oh, that's Skeletor.
Right.
I got to tell you, Dan, one of my favorite customs and one of my oldest son's favorite customs is your take on Ben 10. I mean, he's been a Ben 10 fan for years, and still to this day, he's like, Dad, when are you going to make me one of those? When are you going to make me one of those? Are you going to buy me one of those? I'm like, they're not for sale.
I'm glad he likes it. That figure I made because I'm a fan of the show. I always thought it was fun. And, I mean, the most recent series of Omniverse is terrible. I can't even watch it. But up until the end of Ultimate Alien, I really enjoyed the show. And I'll let you guys in on a little deleted scene here. Do you remember the diorama I posted a couple weeks back with the Oracle of Ultimate Truth?
Yeah.
It was the blue base with the Oracle standing up?
Yeah, absolutely.
My original intent with that was not to write a funny story. Because if you guys read the story, you know it turns out to be an ancient form of the Magic 8-Ball.
Spoiler!
It's like months old. It's not spoiler. But the original intent was it is actually going to be a serious story in which my version of Joe Colton, the leader of the adventure team, goes to the Oracle to find a way to send Ben home, back to his own universe. And he was supposed to succeed, but when Ben disappears in a flash of light, he's replaced with another character. And the other character was Generator Rex.
Awesome.
Yeah, Rex is coming, but he's not due probably till next spring.
Very cool.
Yay!
Because I'm sure if your kid likes Ben 10, he probably likes Generator Rex, too.
Well, he hasn't embraced it quite as much as Ben 10. I mean, he'll make, if he doesn't have the character, he'll sit down with cardboard and paper, and he'll make it. I mean, he's full-on Ben 10. He's a highly dedicated fan to the series, I'll say that much.
Like I said, up until the most recent series, so was I. I can't even watch the new one.
Well, that kind of leads us into, Brad, what's on your workbench? The customizing workbench,
Quite a few more superhero figures. I've been kind of going away from the Joes for a while, and it's all about using the parts I have and trying to find the inspiration for them. And right now, I've got a Cyborg almost finished. I've updated my Commissioner Gordon. I've got a Blue Beetle, a little different Blue Beetle. He's going to have his own story in the works. And I'm trying to update or make a Tiger Force beachhead in current modern era, you know, type format. I've got a couple surprises I don't really want to get into too much yet, maybe on a future show. But we'll just say that they were key components in a Superman movie. I've got all three of them in the works. Hopefully they end up getting finished in the next little bit. I've had one of them on my workbench for about 2 months now. Hopefully I'll get the motivation to get it finished in the next couple weeks.
That would be cool to see. I know who you're talking about. I think it'll be great to see them.
Always good to see some other Kryptonians. I'm just curious, because this comes up quite a bit, whether customizers or artists or whatever, I'm just curious if you guys are doing anything special for Halloween that may or may not involve customizing, but definitely involve some artistic talent, whether it's costumes or decorations or anything.
I actually had started a project, which unfortunately I'm not going to get done in time for Halloween. I just started a brand new job, and it's been occupying a lot of my time. But I had been planning since about 2005 or so to do an epic Star Wars horror story. And it's basically a Romero film set in space. So I've constructed, at this point now, I have 16 zombies. They're all assembled, just awaiting painting. And I'm also going to be doing the human survivors, as well as a sci-fi version of the Dead Reckoning truck. And I'm hoping to have that done before year's end. Like, it's not going to get done for Halloween, because we're only, you know, a week from today, but it'll be done by the end of the year, hopefully.
Slacker.
Hey, zombie love is a year-round deal. We'll give him a little lenience there.
Exactly. Everybody loves zombies.
And my son, picked up a blank black mask at Big Lots a few weeks ago, and it's kind of haunting because it's just, you know, it's a face of a normal person, but it's just solid black. He looked at me and said, Dad, you know, we picked this silver, it'd be perfect for Destro. So we're kind of throwing around those ideas and getting his costume together. He wants to be Destro. Right? You know, I'm not against that at all.
That's pretty cool. I'd like to see pictures when it's done.
Yeah. Definitely, will do.
Mine's much simpler. We're doing pumpkins, and I always like to do something fun with the pumpkins that isn't, you know, just a stencil or whatever. Haven't figured out this year, but it'll probably be a witch based on what my daughter wants. And the other thing, my daughter is like this princess bumblebee, but it's just the dress. She wanted wings to go with it, so I'm working on some wings to go with her costume.
Oh, very cool.
The kids are what make Halloween fun. I mean, as we get older, it's fun to watch the old horror movies, but, you know, to see them get out there and get all dressed up, you know, that's what the holiday's about.
Well, the best part is my daughter's not old enough to realize that she's just going out and getting daddy candy. There's going to be a lot of quality control going on.
Yeah, I've always loved this time of year. Halloween's my favorite holiday. I'm actually going this weekend to Florida. We're going to be going to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, this is going to be my fourth time going. It's the second time for my wife. But we're excited because one of the houses is The Walking Dead, which is one of our favorite things to watch and read, of course.
Well, if you happen to be in the lower Georgia area, give me a call. Swing on by and say hello.
But we're just flying in for the weekend. We're coming back on Monday. But if I had a lengthier time down there, I would definitely swing by and say hi.
Lastly for this, this will be the last one, but I want to get your opinion on this. Like, when you guys look at yourself and where you're at in the hobby, do you guys see yourselves customizing 10 years from now?
I see myself customizing till the day I either run out of fodder or my hands stop working. So I think I'll be doing it for quite a long time.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I've been having some issues with blood pressure, and I'm thinking blood sugar may be a problem down the line, shaky hand and all. But you know, as long as I'm able to, and as long as I have the fodder, I think I can see myself doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. My body will give out long before I do, that's for sure. There's just so many ideas I want to do. I have other hobbies that I enjoy. But customizing is just the one I always come back to, the one I always enjoy the most and have the most fun with. So, yeah, there's no way I'm ever going to stop customizing unless I'm physically unable to perform.
Yeah, I have to go off of something that Brad said, too. And this is probably something most of you guys don't know about me, but I suffer from micro tremors in my hands sometimes from high blood pressure. So I have to maintain the very, very fine like motor controls. So it takes a lot of concentration to get all those little tiny details on my figures without, you know, slopping the paint over or anything. So I completely sympathize with what you're going through there, Brad.
It's a double-edged sword. I mean, you know, it's hard when you have things that are hindering you as far as what you want to do as a customizer. But in the same instance, customizing to me is an outlet. I mean, if I've had a really crappy day at work, you know, I come in here and grab the brush and go to town, and it just kind of relieves my mind of all the pressures of the real world and, you know, brings me into my own. It's a therapeutic, you know, I think for probably most of us, a lot of it is the therapeutic nature of it.
Oh, certainly. And there's something very zen about making something from bits of nothing that is very relaxing and very rewarding. So it's a great stress reliever, and it's a great way to, as you said, you had a bad day at work, you come home, you make something, you feel better.
Yeah, kind of a funny story. We've had some plumbing issues here in the last week or so. A guy came in to get the excess water out of our carpet in our bedroom, and that doubles as my customizing room. Well, I had recently remade my Starfire, the first one I traded with Tim, and he took care of me as far as making the second one. Well, the guy came in and was doing the carpets, and he's looking at all my customs and such, and he's like, wow, you know, this is pretty impressive for your kid. And my wife's like, this is my husband's, you know, stuff. And so he starts looking, and he takes a look at Starfire, and, you know, the Marvel figures are gifted nowadays, and he's like, wow, they didn't make figures like that when I was a kid. She had a laugh at it. I had a laugh at it. You know, it is what it is, but you kind of get the inference there.
Yep. And it's always fun the first time somebody sees your collection. Like you just mentioned, the guy thought it was you know, for your child. Whenever I have anybody in the house who's not familiar with what I do and they see my hobby room, just the look of like shock and awe that comes over their face is priceless. Because I got a lot of stuff, to put it mildly.
I think the reaction I enjoy the most is, I don't remember this guy coming out. Well, yeah, I made him. You made him what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's always great when people think that the things that you made are actual, like, you know, professionally produced pieces.
Yeah, it's always a compliment, for sure. All right, Brad, is there anything else you'd like to add or say to the listeners out there?
Just keep doing what we're doing and support each other and be constructive in our criticism and help each other grow.
That's what a community does. We help each other out. And like, Brad, you said you're having trouble finding you know, fodder. I've always got tons of stuff in my swap shop. So, you know, hit me up, see if you need anything in there you need.
Absolutely. I think we've done some business in the past, and I'll definitely hit you up again.
Yeah, we did a couple trades a while back, but, you know, door's always open. I'm always willing to help out friends.
Definitely appreciate it.
You guys get a room already. All right. So, until next time, keep your brushes up, and the custom's coming. Have a good one.
So long, everybody.
Good night.
Once again, the world is a safe place to be, thanks to the G.I. Joe team of experts. G.I. Joe, a real American hero.